The title of this lesson this morning is entitled, Lord, Lord. If you look at your Bibles at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, we will begin to launch from that text and share some thoughts with you. Now the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want to look at Lord, Lord. Jesus here states that this is an acknowledgement of reverent respect for the one this honor should be bestowed upon. It has fear and power in it. We need to understand that when we fall down to the Lord, we are honoring his most holy and divine name. For the Greek term that's used here says that he has supernatural authority. You know, this is the reason why he can calm the storms in your life, not only mentally, but physically as well, because he has all authority in his hands. And we need to recognize that. While I was studying this lesson and preparing to deliver it to you, I had to stop and pray, saying, Lord, forgive me of my weaknesses, those that are known and unknown. And let me tell you the reason why I had to stop, because I began to realize who I was dealing with. I began to understand that in my preparation that I was dealing with the most holy God. I understand that, and you should understand that. But I believe that a great number of people don't understand and don't realize who they are dealing with. Now, if you live in District 1, you probably received one of these cards here in your mail. You probably received that card. It has Richard Showers on it. I know Richard Towers, have met him several times, and probably will vote for him. But then I looked on the back of the card, and he had a number of supporters that supported him, and all of 16 of these men had Reverend and behind their name. Now, if you look at Psalms 111 and verse number 9, watch this. He has sent redemption unto his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Now I need you to understand something there. If his name was reverent then his name should be reverent even today. Now, what man has the honor or the nobility to wear the name reverent when God's name is reverent? Now, see, I know that this should be so, because if you go back to verse number 7, watch what he says. He says, the work of his hands are varied and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Watch 8. They stand fast forever and ever. If his judgments and standards stand fast forever and ever, then his name has to stand fast forever and ever. Now, when we begin to recognize men as reverent when this word carries the idea of being awesome and fearful, then I'm telling you, I'm not afraid of men. I'm not afraid of men. But I have reverent fear for God. So, Lord, Lord is only given to the God who has supernatural authority. He rules the heavens and the earth, and we need to recognize and honor his most holy name. We need to recognize. And yet some people don't seem to understand that. They like wearing the name Reverend. Let's look at your Bibles in Matthew chapter 23, starting about verse number 6. Brother John, if you don't mind reading that for us in the King James, because I want you to see something here. 23, verse number 6, starting at verse number 6. Watch what the Bible says.
And love the
uppermost rooms. Watch, y'all listen to him now, because I want to, this is a translation here. And I want you to see how they translated this passage from the King James in one of the new modern translations. Read.
And the chief
seats in the synagogue.
And greetings in the marketplace.
And to be called of men.
Rabbi, Rabbi.
Rabbi, Rabbi. Hold it. Let's look at it. Go back to verse number 6 there. Watch what he says. They love to sit at the heads of table at church dinners. I can relate to that because of the fact that I know a lot of folks like to sit at the head and be recognized. You know, they wear a name that states that they should be recognized as somebody special. So they want to sit at the best seat in the church building. They want to have preeminence within the church. Now, look at this. He says, basking in the most prominent position. Look, next verse. Peering, this word, peering, perking, literally means like a bird who feathers himself. He picks his feathers and he fluffs himself up. You know, he in the radius of public flatter, receiving honorary degrees and getting called doctor. And what? They love the prestige, my friends. And see, there's a danger there, especially when we start calling ourselves by God's name. A name not given to us by God, but one that God has for his very self. For he should be reverent. We should look at him as awesome God. But men want to wear that title because they want to sit at the head. They want to be honored. They want to be flattered by men. Watch what the Bible says. Next verse. Don't let people do that to you. Put you on a pedestal like that. You all have a single teacher, that's God, and all of you are classmates. And the King James says that's brothers and sisters. So, John, you're a brother. Elders, you're a brother. Sisters, you're sisters. Deacons, you're brothers. We're all in the same classroom, my brothers and sisters. We're all there. Don't you go wearing titles that belong to God. Don't you do that. Don't you disrespect your Lord like that. And yet, People love these titles. If you look at this list, and I'm assuming that most of you all probably have, you see all these distinguished men. Now, I don't have anything against those men. I do not. I just feel that they shouldn't wear what belongs to God. Hey, they have doctorates. I honor that. But don't wear God's name. That's all I'm trying to get you to see and to understand. Even Paul recognized who his Lord was in Acts 9 and verse number 3 through 6. Watch what the Bible says. Here's Saul. He was Saul, and he had just got a letter to go persecute the Christians who were in Damascus. But he happened to run into a supernatural power. Watch what the Bible says. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thy me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? You know, I can tell just by he didn't know whom he was dealing with. See, again, when I stopped and began to realize that I was dealing with God, I had to show reverence before him. I had to honor his most holy name and plead to him to forgive me of my weaknesses. See, brothers and sisters, I realize that we all are undone. I realize that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. I realize how helpless we are standing before the judgment seat of God if we don't have Christ Jesus in our lives. What I'm trying to get you to do, while the blood is still running warm in your veins, you need to recognize God and give him all the praise and glory you possibly can muster from your loins to him right now. You need to respect and honor the name right now. You don't need to wait until the day he has to knock you down to honor who he is. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Watch. And he, what, church? Oh, you think he wasn't scared? When you stand before the presence of God and you know that you are not right with God, you have a reason to be fearful. You have a reason. And so many of us walk around here thinking we are all right, but I'm going to show you something this morning. He trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what will thou have me? How many of you asked that question lately? See, I want you to realize God does not need you. You need God. I need you to understand that. So why aren't we paying more reverence to his most holy name? Why aren't we doing more to honor him by working on his behalf? John F. K. said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Hey, you need to start thinking about how you can honor God more. What can you do to please God more? Because we need to be about this business Like I said, we don't know when that mass murderer is going to walk in off the street and just shoot everybody down. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few minutes. I want the mercy and grace of God on me right now and in me right now. I don't want to wait until it's too late and start crying. I'm going to show you something here in a minute about that. No, right now, the Bible teaches us in Philippians chapter 2. Reggie, you'll get that from me. Watch what the scriptures say. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and giving him a name which is above every name. Did that say every name? Every name? Does a man have the, what man has the right to wear his name? Think about it now. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. I gave you the scripture, and you see here for yourself that God has highly exalted him above every name. That means everything else is below him. Every other name. Moses, John the Baptist, Peter, St. Luke, all them fellows are below my Lord and Savior. Don't you change his name. Next verse. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I need to pause right there for a moment. Because I told you several weeks ago that bowing represents humility. See, I need you to understand that you are humbling yourself when you bow your knee before God. Bowing the knee represents honor. You see, we have to honor our God, give him the praise. And bowing your knee, a cursing, shows respect. Shows respect to the Holy One. And yet men want those same honors that only God deserves. Y'all hear what I mean? Men want those honors. Watch what he says. Of things in earth and things in heaven, I'm sorry, and things in earth and things under the earth. He didn't miss a point. Say everything. Everyone will bow before the Lord. And watch what's the name. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is who? He's Lord, church. He's God. He deserves the honor and respect. He deserves it because of who he is and what he has done for us. See, I'm going to honor the man that gives his life up for my life. Huh? You know, I'm going to humble myself and say, this man gave himself up for me. And I'm going to respect his name. The Bible says, here again, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, it's going to be a sad commentary when people find out that they have been dishonoring God by wearing his name. That's going to be a sad day. That's going to be a sad day like the virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Turn your Bibles there, chapter 25. Reggie, pull that up for us. Watch this. And while they went to buy, we're going to verse number 10. You know the story of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, how some prepared and some thought they were prepared. You see, I need you to understand something here. as long as you are living and breathing on this side of life, you are never prepared enough. You know, they went out to meet the bridegroom. Some brought extra, some didn't. And this is the result of their neglect. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And while afterward came also the other virgins saying, what? Oh, Lord. Come on. Y'all know how it is when you get slapped in the face with the unexpected. Oh, Lord. Come on. Y'all know how it is when storm come your way. Oh, Lord. We always crying for him, but we don't want to honor him while things are going well in our life. But when the door shuts, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Watch what it said. Afterward came also the other virgin. Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I don't recognize you. I don't know you. You have not been honoring me like you supposed to honor me. You have not been preparing yourself like you supposed to prepare yourself. You knew that life could change for you at any moment. And now you want to come in. But the door shut. And I don't know you. Now tell me that's not a sad, morbid commentary. I don't care how long you stand out there. Lord, Lord. The door shut. You know, it's just like the people in Noah's day. Come on, y'all know Noah and the ark. I was talking to Joshua and Maya. She said, that's okay. And we were talking about Joshua this morning. But we didn't get to the point when the door shut. Noah, y'all forgive me because sometimes when the door was shut, all those people in that water was trying to get in. But too late. Noah had preached for 120 years warning the people. You better praise God. You better help me and get on this boat. But when the door shut, all they could do was cry. But he answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Next verse. Warning, church, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know. As a matter of fact, you better not wait to see him. Huh? Because the way people die these days in the last 2 months, I buried, 9 inmates at Limestone Correctional Facility? Last 2 months, August, September, and folks dropping like flies. You know the tragedy that we've had here right amongst our own family. Who can be sure of anything in this life? Huh? You better watch. That's what he's saying. You better watch. In other words, you better start bowing your knee and praying to the Most Holy God to save you from your very own weaknesses. See, I know who I'm dealing with. And I know he don't play games. As I heard somebody say, he does not play the radio. I don't know, that's some sort of slang they got, but I made a point with me. Made a point. He does not play that. You better get right with him. That's it in a nutshell. Get right with him. We need to understand that. Boy. But let's watch what Hosea says about this issue. In Hosea chapter 8, here's another translation. The King James starts off, sound the trumpet. And you want to look there, you can look there. But watch what Hosea says. Again, I put it here to make us aware because it relates more to our situation. He says, sound the alarm. The enemy is descending like an eagle on the people of the Lord. Oh, you know, I looked at that word eagle, and eagle make it look pretty, but he's talking about buzzards, vultures. I mean, seriously, look it up for yourself. He's talking about a vulture. Now, ask yourself the question, what does a vulture descend on? A dead bunch of folk. Huh? But it is a terrible thing to be in a dead church. People who don't have the Spirit of God in them. People who don't love the God. People who don't recognize and honor His most holy name. That's a dead situation. And Israel has forsaken God. Watch what the Bible says here. Sound the trumpet. They descend like an eagle on the people of the Lord, for they have broken my covenant and revolted against my laws. Next verse. Now Israel plead. That word in the King James is they're crying out. They cry. See, I want you to know that if the vultures start descending, your cries don't matter anymore. Now look at it. Now, Israel, please with me. Help us, for you are our God. Too late to recognize Him now. Too late to honor Him now. Too late to reverence Him now. Too late. No, your cries are not going to accomplish anything. But it is too late. The people of Israel have rejected what is good, and now their enemies will chase them. When we reject the Word of God by wearing His name, cracking jokes about Him, patronizing Him, belittling Him. You know, God, I don't really care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't you know that there are people that call themselves Christians act like that? But I don't care what you say about this. I got a need and I'm going to satisfy my selfish need. God, I don't care what you tell me how to talk and how to walk, but I ain't going to stop cursing and fussing and fighting. I'm not going to stop being envious and covetous. I'm not going to stop those things that set me aside, that weigh me down. No, this is the way I want to be, and if you don't like it, you know, it's like throwing an insult. If you don't like it, God, do something about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. Come on, y'all know, folks, that if you don't like it, you ain't got to put up with it. All right? Don't worry. God will handle His business. No, don't worry about the way folks treat God, too. You know, one guy called me a fool. Another one called me stupid. You know, because I believe in Jesus. I don't care anything about that anymore. My feelings used to get hurt when people will insult me. But they don't insult me because the Bible teaches me it's better for a millstone to be tied around their necks and be cast into the sea than to mess with one of God's little ones. You know, I may be big in your eyes, but I'm little God. Why? Because I have humbled myself before. I'm honoring His name. I'm praising Him every day. When you sleep, I'm praising Him. When you awake, I'm praising Him. I refuse to live this life without my God. That's all, you know, because life is hopeless without Him. It's hopeless. So don't be like these folks. going to reject God's goodness, going to reject God's grace, thinking that they're living on their own power and volition? No, don't you dare go to thinking like that. Remember, God does not play the radio. Remember, let's look a little bit further here. Let's go back to this straight and narrow gate thing here. I could have just went on and on, but I want to go back to Matthew chapter 7 here, in verse number 13. Now, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there." You know, when I began to look at this straight gate and this narrow way, I said, wow. You know, I don't see any S's on straight or gate, do you? So that literally tells me God only has one way of doing things. And these are his directions. These are his instructions to us. Hey, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. I remember a fellow by over in Genesis chapter 28, I believe, by the name of Jacob, who talked about a gate and a straight. We got that, Reggie? Genesis. Here's Jacob. Jacob was asleep one night, and Jacob woke up. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Hey, it would be a shame and a pity for God to be here, which I believe he's here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst also. But I would hate to see him, for him to see that I got some dirty underwear. What I mean there, I got a nasty attitude. I got a bitter disposition. I got an old selfish manner about me. I would hate for God to see that in me. And you should hate for God to see that in you. I don't care. I'm just gathering here. Let's look at Luke's position. Again, here's another transliteration. Listen to what Luke said. And he's talking about the same thing. A bystander said, "Master, will only a few be saved?" He said. Now, I don't like transliterations because of things like this. Whether few or many is none of your business. I don't believe he said that. But that's something somebody implemented. That's the reason why you need to be careful about how you study God's word. You know, everything that's written, you know, because I believe Jesus gave him an answer in the statement, "Will there be a few saved?" And here's the answer. He says, I love this. "Put your mind on your life with God." How often should we meditate on God? Day and night. So it's encouraging here that we should put our minds on your life with God. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires your total attention. It requires something from you. See, this straight and narrow path ain't an easy journey, my brothers and sisters. I didn't get here overnight. It took some work and some effort. And I know trying to walk upright and live for God can be challenging as all get out. Man, there are mountains to climb. There are rivers to cross. Valleys. Deep valleys. You know, have any of y'all ever fell in one of them deep valleys? Mentally? Man, sometimes, well, Lord, how are you going to get me out of this? I'm telling you, it takes energy and effort every day to live for the Lord. Because things come out of nowhere sometimes. And you wonder, what happened? You thought you had a good plan, but it failed you. You thought you could trust certain people, but they didn't trust you. You thought you were in love and found out that the person you gave all your love to didn't love you. Come on, any of y'all ever been in that kind of situation? Brokenhearted, down and out, and don't know who to turn to. I can see some of us now. Lord, come on. That's what we normally do. He says, so we should keep our minds totally on him. Next verse. A lot of you are going to assume that you'll sit down to God's salvation banquet just because you've been hanging around in the neighborhood all your life. Just because you've been coming to church? Just because you sat in the pew for 30, 45 minutes and you sung a few songs and bowed your head when you prayed, you think that's good enough? What? Come on. God teaches us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, all our mind, with all our strength. God wants your attention every day. Every day God wants some attention. He deserves your attention. But don't think because you're just hanging around that it's going to be all right. Don't go to thinking that. Next verse. Well, one day you are going to be banging on the door. Waiting to get in. But you will find out that the door locked and the master says, sorry, you are not on my guest list. Don't everybody here know that God recording everything. You know, he got a book of life, and he checking whether or not you into this or not. I'm telling you, that's going to be a sad day when we find out that the door is locked. But he's willing to let you in if you're willing to honor him, respect him, give him what he deserves. He's ready to open up the door to you and spread out his banquet before you if you're willing to do what he said. If you're willing to do what he said. So I'm encouraging you that God has only one gate. One way of doing things. Now, his kingdom has been established. Matthew chapter 16 teaches us this. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Next verse. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You know, why do people call their churches other than what Christ has called his church? You know, I often wonder about that because Christ built it. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ built it. That means he's the owner of it. How can we respect him when we wear something other than what Christ owns? How can we say we respect it? How can we say we honor it when we wear something, some other name attached to Christ's name? I've never heard of these other Christians. I've never read about them in the book of God's word. You know, and I don't want to offend anybody. I know it's a lot of good people. I work with a lot of good people. I mean honorable men. But yet, Christ gave me a name to wear. And I can't attach anything else to his name. Hey, I'm just trying to make some sense here, folks. That's all I'm trying to do. If he said he was going to build his church, I have no right to change the name of it. None whatsoever. I have no right to wear what they call him. I have no right to change his name. I need you to understand that. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 21. Again, we see this, and we've read this before. For above all principalities and power and might and every and dominion and every name that is a name. We read that back in Philippians. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he's talking past, present, future. His name is still honorable. His name is still far above every other name that exists in society. We need to honor it and give it respect. It's all about Christ and what he's done. Watch what the Bible says. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Next verse 23. To the church, which is his body. How many bodies? I mean, church, we are one body with one head, and that's Christ Jesus. I'd be darned if I start calling these other parts something other than James Wheat. No, you're not going to have that. Your name is your name. Well, Christ has his name stamped on his church. And we need to honor that. Members of the body of Christ, we need to honor that. We need to respect that. We need to reverence that. By worshiping him in spirit and in truth, doing all we can within our power to please our God. Man, it's about honoring him. Therefore, I want to encourage you, if you hadn't been working, you better get to work. Better get to work. I'm telling you, you better get to it because you don't want it to happen. What happened to those in Hosea? Reggie, you go back to Hosea right quick. And scroll down to the last verse there in the text I gave you. Watch what it said. Okay. Go back up. Verse number 3. The people have, okay. But it's too late. The people of Israel have rejected what is good, and now their enemies will chase after them. Next. The people have appointed kings and princes, but not with my consent, by making idols for themselves from their silver and gold. They have brought about their own. Putting something else in the place of God. Did I have one more verse there? Okay, Thanks, Ray. It said, I read that they have cut themselves off from the grace of God. Man, that they have, by erecting idols and not following God's command and not worshiping Him according to what God has commanded, they have cut themselves off. I think that's a sad thing for you to realize that you should honor and reverence your God, and yet you refuse to, and you're cut off. We saw the door shut. We saw people standing on the outside wanting to get in, but when you cut yourself off, then you sealed your own faith. That's one body, one church. And we can read about it in the Bible. Honor and respect it. Honor and respect it. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body, one Lord, one faith. We need to honor that. 1 Corinthians 12:12, one body but many members. Honor and respect that. Christ is the head. He's the head of the church. He's the only body where you can find salvation in. And we encourage you to study it, to know it, to believe it, and do all you can to show honor and respect to it. That's what we encourage. The message is yours. What you do with it, it's yours. You know, I just have to do what I can to try to encourage you to meet the standards. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you become a Christian by believing what thus said the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what you got to do. Hear what God has to say, believe it, act upon it. Don't sit back there and think that you're all right when you are cutting yourself off. Please don't do that. Trust Him. Give your life to Him. Believe it. Be willing to make some changes. Repent. Luke 13:3, repent. Repent. Change the way you are headed. Change your life for the better. Confess that Jesus is Lord. And brothers and sisters, that's not just a statement. Confession is a way of life. We don't want you just to say, I believe. We want to encourage you to live it. To live it. And be buried in the water of river baptism for the remission of your sins. To have them washed away, removed. That you can start all over again, according to Romans 6. Start a new life in Christ Jesus, where you can grow and mature and be protected from the storm. Be protected. If you're a Christian, I know how this life is. I know how challenging it is. But when you know who you are dealing with, you humble yourself. You honor Him. And you beg Him to have mercy upon you. You beg it. You don't wait a day. You don't wait until tomorrow. You don't wait until next year. Whatever problem God has with you, you want to get it right with God right now. But that's the only time that you have is right now. And if you fail to get it right, then you have separated yourself. You have cut yourself off from the grace of God. And I won't want to be that person that's standing on the outside knocking, trying to get in because I hung around. Because I was hanging out with you good folk. You don't want to be that person. You want to be one of the people that are at God's banquet table. If you're here today and you need to respond to God, this is your time now while we stand and sing the invitation song.